What's up, Zach Oates here, author, entrepreneur, and customer relationship guru. Welcome to Give an Ovation, growth strategies for restaurants and retailers, where we find industry leaders to share their secrets to grow your business. This podcast is sponsored by Ovation, the actionable guest feedback tool that works on or off premise and is easy, real time, and actually drives revenue. Learn more at ovationup.com. Welcome to another edition of Give an Ovation. I am joined today by a marketing maven. She's got over 20 years experience. She's the founder and managing director of Social Thinking and the managing partner of Two Korean Girls, Jennifer Kaminsky. Thank you for joining us on Give an Ovation.
Thanks, Zach. Hi.
Hi. And we met just so randomly, just had some mutual friends that we just listened to Danny Meyer speak at NRA. And we just met right outside of where he was speaking. And I was so impressed with you that immediately I was like, Jennifer, can you come on to the podcast? Because I think this combination of so many, such great experience with marketing and such great experience with a restaurant, like it just comes together so well to this podcast. And so first, let's talk about Two Korean Girls. Then let's talk about Social Thinking. What is Two Korean Girls and how did you start it?
Sure. So Two Korean Girls is a Korean scratch kitchen. It operates as a virtual kitchen, ghost kitchen. So we launched during the pandemic, actually. So at the end of 2020.
What better time to launch a restaurant, you know?
I know, right? It felt like on a lot of levels, like seemed sort of counterintuitive. But funny enough is that we started developing the brand maybe 4 or 5 years before we actually launched. I run a digital marketing agency, Social Thinking. And so that is, you know, my full-time / first baby, if you will. And so this was always, you know, something that we envisioned that we wanted to develop and bring to life, especially to introduce to the community and market in Miami, because there was just such a void of Korean food, but, you know, was never the top priority. So we worked on it slowly in the background, developing the branding, the business model, you know, the mission, what is all of this going to look like? And, you know, even then, so this would have been, we launched in 2020. So this must have been, what was this? So like around 2017, I think. So around 2017. So even then, we had the idea to launch as a ghost kitchen, virtual kitchen, you know, just with like research and things that I was like looking into. It was very, very under the radar, you know, like no one had really heard of it before. It wasn't like a huge mainstream thing like we know about it today. And it's still not even that mainstream today. But so we thought, okay, what a great, like, this is what we want to do, you know, because we want to create like this experience. And so then we developed the brand even from the get-go, from the ground up, as a ghost kitchen, virtual kitchen. So, whereas I think during the pandemic, a lot of people tried to pivot or enter the market, you know, as a ghost kitchen or virtual kitchen without really thinking through a lot of the marketing and branding elements that would go into it, in order to really create that sort of digital hospitality, that's kind of a key component in, you know, that's missing when you don't have a brick and mortar. Right. So, So with all of that being said, is that then, you know, when the pandemic hit, and we'd always seen the numbers increasing for delivery service platforms, and then they just kind of shot through the roof then. So we thought, if there was ever a time for us to test our proof of concept, if even this is a thing, maybe now is the time to give it a go.
And as you've been growing and developing this brand, what do you feel like, has it been more challenging or has it been like, you know, pretty much what you expected?
Like far more challenging, I think, than what I expected.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In the sense that, because part of me felt like, no, like I've been running my own business. I'm a business owner, an entrepreneur. Like this is just it's just a different vertical. Like this is going to be fine. Right. Like how different could it be? And then also too, I think, you know, for us, my mother has had a restaurant. Oh, who you met at the restaurant show.
She is amazing. She was so funny. Excited. I was like, I was like, what do you do? She was like, what do I do? I'm retired, so I do nothing. And I am so happy to do nothing. She was a character.
Yeah, she was just freshly retired. So she was very excited to let people know, I'm not working anymore. Which is also kind of a lie, because she's never not working kind of person.
But she didn't seem like the type to sit in a lawn chair and watch cars drive by.
So my mother that you met at the restaurant show also, she's run a restaurant in Indiana for over 30 years. So, you know, as a family business, we all grew up working in the family business, washing dishes, waiting tables, you know, the whole gamut sort of thing. So, so for me, you know, I'm thinking like, well, I've done that. We grew up in the business. Like, how different is this going to be? But, you know, I learned really quickly, when you grow up in like a small family style restaurant business, it operates a lot differently from a culture standpoint than just opening up a restaurant and just hiring in, you know, I don't want to say staff off the street, but, you know, like, you're not hiring in your family members. You know, there's a whole different dynamic that's involved. So it was certainly challenging. Then layer in, you know, COVID and, you know, health concerns and closures and protocols and all these different things layered into it. I mean, it was almost comical, the amount of chaos that would occur, you know, weekly, daily kind of thing.
Yeah, and I'm sure that, and, you know, back then it was like every single day. You had no idea what you're going to be hit with. And it was so wild. But one of the leg ups that you have over other restaurants is social thinking. And is the fact that you understand social media marketing and that you understand marketing. So what's something, if you were to give some advice to people about restaurant marketing, what would you say based on your experience with social thinking? So taking off your restaurateur hat and putting on your marketing hat, what do you wish people knew?
It's an investment. It's an investment that you've got to be willing to commit to. You know, just opening a restaurant and having excellent food and good service is not enough.
Wait, what? You can't just have good food, good service, and a decent location and make it? What? Come on, Jennifer.
I know. I'm not exactly like, you know, like, I feel like I'm stating the obvious here, but I can't tell you how many, you know, restaurateurs and other persons that I've spoken to in the space, you know, like that I've got to meet, like, over these last few years being involved in the industry down here, you know, that are just like, why isn't it working for me? You know, we had to close after 3 months, you know, just like all these sort of different kind of stories. You're like, well, what did your, you know, marketing communication plan look like? Well, you know, we didn't have one. It wasn't clicking. Like, what did we need one for? Just sort of we built it. Why didn't people come kind of thing?
Yeah.
So I think also too, I mean, even with Two Korean Girls, I mean, we spent, you know, even though it was a little bit on the back burner, it was still cooking, you know, like, mm-hmm. It wasn't like, you know, shelved, it was on the back burner, still cooking. And we spent a lot of time and a lot of thought into who is our brand? What is it that we, you know, want people to experience? What is the, you know, feelings that we want them to have, you know, when they experience our food, you know, from every touch point. So from the brand identity, the social media, the content that we created, and all of our other tactics, including, you know, touch points for delivery that were going out, you know, with having these unique boxes that went out. And I remember, you know, when we'd first launched and the delivery drivers would come like up to the, you know, the window to pick up. And when we'd go do the handoff, you know, we'd hand them this adorable, you know, like pink box with rainbows and, you know, clouds and all sorts of things on it. We'd hand them this box. And a lot of times they would start laughing. Like they would just it would catch them by surprise. And even they would like have like a little giggle, like, what have I just picked up? Like, what is this? And I'm like, it's food for the person who ordered it that you're supposed to go deliver it to.
And they're like, where's the cheap plastic bag? Like,
yeah. So I thought that was adorable. And I mean, I remember we used to have people call into the kitchen and say, I've seen those. We've seen your to-go boxes, your pink Happy Meal boxes. And we're going to order tonight. And my daughter really wants one. And I just wanted to make sure it was going to come with our order.
No way.
Yeah, no, for sure. So, I thought that was like, that just made us feel so good to know that we're building this connection with people, virtually, digitally, and just trying to do as much as we can, like from that perspective, again, too, to really cultivate this like digital hospitality, because otherwise, it's a very cold transaction. Otherwise, like you go on your app, you go on the DSP, you order the food you want, it gets delivered in an unmarked box and plastic bag or whatever else, you open it up, you eat it. So it's, very transactional. And when you go and eat and dine in a restaurant, there's so much more that's happening, like from the before you even step foot, the entry of, the entry space, the walking in, and then the ambiance, the smells, the vibe, the sounds, so there's so much more going on that I think creates a bond with guests, when you're able to go and dine in. And so that was really what we wanted to focus on is how can we do this in a way, where, we never really in person see people. So.
Yeah, I think that's so important, because one of the things that we often see at Ovation is when we come into a restaurant, they have so many procedures and trainings and policies all about the dine-in guest. How do we treat them? How do we greet them? How do we make them feel at home? And then that same exact guest orders drive-through and it's like they're throwing dog food out the window at them. The same exact guest orders from online, gets delivery, and we drop it off with not even a hello. Like these are the types of things where we need to treat our guests the same, no matter how they order from us, because they're still the same guest. And right. At the end of the day, no matter what channel it is, it boils down to the guest experience. And so what do you feel like are some of the most important aspects of guest experience nowadays?
Well, I think that how we're making them feel, for me is always top, and I think that that's applicable on so many levels, whether they had a good meal, mediocre meal, bad meal experience, whatever it's going to be. I think that we should always be focused on how we're making them feel, and that we're making them feel, in a positive way, about us. So, even just like little, every single person that writes to us or comments on our social media or DMs us or emails us or writes a review about us or whatever it might be, we respond to diligently. And we take every single piece of feedback that we get very seriously as well. Good and bad. We love when we have good news and praise that we can share, with our teams and our partners, so they can feel good about what they're doing. But really it's sometimes those negative experiences, I think, that we learn so much more from, that kind of shapes up what kind of experience and how we want to make someone feel. And also to how we handle that, So I think that, I'm really grateful that, the operating partners that we work with, they really get that as well. And they, feel strongly about, winning customers, keeping customers and or winning customers back, and really kind of keeping customer service top, which is where we're at. As well, I think especially I found it really challenging, to launch to Korean girls in Miami to a certain extent, because so many people are unfamiliar with Korean food. I mean, even sometimes like our staff, this is like their first real experience with Koreans and what it's supposed to look like and all of this. So you know, I'm actually very thrilled that there's more and more Korean concepts and restaurants popping up down here. But on some level too, I'm like, you know, I feel like there's like I really want to share our culture with the community. So there really is this responsibility to, you know, I feel to like show up and represent well. And again, too, just make sure that we're making them feel awesome about the choice that they made to dine with us, because there's, you know, they could have done anything.
Exactly. And something that I say a lot, you know, I was actually this weekend and last weekend, I was keynoting at two different brand conferences. And the thing that I like to remind people is we're not serving customers. We're not even serving guests. We're serving humans. And the universal human desire is a desire to feel important. And when you carefully package up my meal in a cute pink box, and like you can tell that there was care, there was thought put into it, it doesn't necessarily have to mean that you write me a handwritten note with every single order, but it just means that you show the details show that you care. That is how I feel important as a consumer, as someone who's eating at your restaurant or buying your food. And I think that we need to take that and remember that, because I think you're so spot on, Jennifer. It's about how they feel. And if they feel important by us caring about them, then they're gonna build that connection, that bond like you described, and they're gonna want to come back, and they're gonna want to tell their friends and leave reviews and order again. But that's how we create these raving fans. You can't just do it with good food, good service, and a okay location. You've got to have more than that nowadays, and I think you're spot on with that. And so, one of the things I'd love to get, you know, some ideas from you is any tactics. I mean, I love the idea of really rethinking your packaging. Any other tactics that you've seen or tried lately to improve the guest experience?
You know, I think we try to do a lot of like going into like those details to surprise and delight. So we'll run like various campaigns where, you know, as a surprise for a certain amount of orders, we might give away, you know, extra dessert or a cookie, or even like we're working on one partnership to do like a bouquet of flowers as a surprise.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I think like, you know, these are like little touches, little details that I think can be done that are not incredibly expensive to do. But it's really, it's not like you have to do it forever, but I feel like it means so much, you know, when someone unexpectedly gets, you know, a cookie and a note in their food, you know, that says like, you know, thank you for ordering. Like, we wanted to surprise you with this cookie. Do you know, like, that means everything. Like, it's, you know, like, and it really, you know, from our side, it doesn't cost us anything. Or, I mean, it does, it's not that big of a cost, you know, when you think about what you're going to be getting in return for that. So I think trying to be creative, like with who your brand is, and then figuring out, you know, how can you get a little bit more detailed and showing care to your guests to make them feel like they've had, you know, special, and they've had this really important experience. And that also too can sometimes be as simple as just writing their name, you know. And again, too, I'm speaking from like, you know, from a delivery standpoint, but like it can be as simple as just even writing their name on their bag or their food box or whatever it is that they're getting. Just to be able to see like that little touch of like, oh, they know my name. They wrote my name. Like subconsciously you feel recognized, you know, even if you're not, you know, you assume, you know, oh, okay, my name's on the bag, you know, but somewhere you're like, oh, they know my name.
That's a great idea. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And it's easy, right? You know, but again, too, it's like these things, like it's taking the time, you know, to put into like these little details. And that's really what kind of makes all the difference.
Love that. I think that makes so much sense. And who is someone, Jennifer, that you think is doing a great job? Someone that we should be following in the restaurant industry, someone who deserves an ovation.
Okay. Someone I love who I think is doing amazing, who is just like for us, I think goals, is Pinky Cole from Slutty Vegan.
She's amazing.
Like what, like, again, too, like, what a genius experience she's creating for people, you know, like the menu, the way the menu, the copywriting on the menu, you know, her approach and the casualness of like the marketing that she does, it feels like it's you're communicating and interacting with a friend, and that you're having an experience with a friend, and just, like I we're huge fans of what she's done and what she continues to do, and really kind of pioneering almost in a space for plant-based as well. But yeah, it's just like the branding is so good, the copy, the tone, the marketing efforts that they put into, like, love it.
She's awesome. The brand is awesome. Yeah, totally love them. And how do people find and follow you and Two Korean Girls in Social Thinking?
Sure. So you can find us on Instagram and TikTok, or I guess LinkedIn also, if that's a thing. Hey. and it's just at Two Korean Girls, the number 2 Korean Girls. And our agency is on at Social Thinking, and that's Thinking with 2 K's.
Awesome. Well, for distilling the complexity of marketing and food to a digestible, delicious, pink package delight, today's ovation goes to you, Jennifer. Thank you so much for joining us on Give an Ovation.
Awesome. Thank you, Zach, for having me. I appreciate it.
Glad you're with us today, and thank you. Thank you to the risk takers, the troublemakers, the crazies who are keeping this world clothed and fed. You're the ones who deserve an ovation. Again, this podcast was sponsored by Ovation. To see how we can help you grow your business, go to ovationup.com. Don't forget to subscribe. And as always, remember to give someone in your life an ovation today.